Father, we thank you for this day, Lord God, for your mercy and for your grace, for allowing us, God, another opportunity to assemble ourselves together this day as believers, God. Now, as we sit and hear what you are speaking to your people, the church, those things that you will have us hear, oh God, those things that you will have us know. And now, God, we ask that you will help us by the power of your Spirit to walk therein, that we would not simply be hearers, but also doers, God, of your holy word. Father, I ask that not only for me, but for every preacher, God, that will proclaim your word on this morning, that you would touch us by your Spirit, that we would speak your word under the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. That your word would fulfill its intended purpose, God, that it would not return unto the void, but that it will rest on the heart of those who know not the pardon of their sins, and that they will feel the conviction, God, of your Holy Spirit, that conviction that would drive them to belief and repentance, God, that they might be saved. Father, we ask that you remember all those that are absent today, God, those that are sick and infirm, those who had to work, God, you know every situation. We ask that you will bless them now. God, we thank you and we give you praise, and we ask all these things, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And everyone said amen and amen. And we heard our text for this morning. It came from the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. It was read from the New American Standard Bible, but I'm going to read it now from the King James Version of the Bible. Again, that's Romans chapter 7, verses 23 through 25, and God's word reads, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Again, that was read from the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. And from that, I would like to speak this morning on a message simply entitled, "God is not through with me yet." God is not through with me yet. You know, if we are honest and we do our own self-analysis, we can acknowledge that even though we have been born again and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of us, a lot of times when we look in the mirror, we see things that we don't like. But that is a moment that I press the pause button and thank God, because despite my flaws, God is not through with me yet. You know, this passage of scripture was written by the Apostle Paul. As I say often, he was one of the baddest apostles that ever lived. The apostle that God allowed to see of the third heaven, God's resting place. And Paul saw some things that he was not even allowed to repeat. Paul laid hands on the sick and they recovered. Paul was a bad boy. But he says in the verse, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Watch this. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So we have this anointed man of God acknowledging the fact that I know what the Bible says. I know what the scripture says. I memorize them. I have them in my mind, but oftentimes my actions betray what I believe. And it makes him say, "Oh, wretched man that I am." You know, a lot of people say this about Paul, that when Paul said that, he was talking about his pre-conversion experience, his way of life before he knew Christ. I submit that that is not true, because Paul gives the testimony of his life when he was wrapped up in Judaism. He said, I was zealous above all my peers. He said, touching the law, Judaism, which he observed, he said, touching that, I was flawless. So Paul wasn't talking about his pre-conversion experience. He was talking about his experience after coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of his resurrection. He acknowledges the fact that, look, I am flawed. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And somebody ought to be shouting hallelujah right there. My mind takes me back to the song. Please be patient with me. Y'all remember that? God is not through with me yet. It's amazing that even from the beginning, the opening pages of the Bible, the scriptures tell us, watch this, that the earth itself wasn't yet finished. Y'all remember the opening pages of the Bible? It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Watch this. And the earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then it says, but God, the Spirit of God, moved across the face of the waters, and God said, and whatever God said, it was. So we can see from the opening pages of the Bible that the very earth itself, though created, was not finished. The Bible says that it was void and it was formless and it was without life. And then God spoke. The Spirit of God moved across the darkness of the waters. And now I like how the scriptures point out that in the midst of a formless, lifeless world, the Spirit of God moved. Understand something, that when the Spirit of God moves, watch this, whatever is dead has to come to life. It's often like that in the life of the believer. The believer has to let the Spirit of God move. The emphasis is on the word let. Because you have to understand something about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. It will lead you, it will guide you, but it will not make you do anything. We know the song, lead me, guide me all the way. The Spirit will lead you and guide you, but it will not make you do anything. That's the difference between justification and sanctification. See, when I hear the word of God and I am an unbeliever and I'm convicted by the Holy Spirit and I acknowledge the fact that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, the Bible says at that moment when I put my trust and faith in Jesus Christ, I become a born-again believer, I am justified, i.e. it is just as I have never sinned. All my sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ the Lamb, and I am justified, meaning that now in God's eyesight, I have been made right with him. That has nothing to do with me. That is a total work of grace. We know what the acronym GRACE means, God's riches at Christ's expense. That has nothing to do with me. I'm justified in God's sight because of what Jesus did. But when it comes to sanctification, sanctification has everything to do with me. That word sanctification means to be set aside. Are you setting yourself aside for the kingdom? Sanctification is that act that's personal to the believer. That act that is personal and has everything to do with me. In order for me to be sanctified, that takes effort. Sanctified meaning to be set aside. Are you setting yourself aside for the kingdom's sake? Now, let's talk about the reality of flaws, the reality of flaws. The wonderful thing about God is that God knows the reality of human flaws. Kind of like a parent. We know that each of our children are flawed in different areas. We love them because of who they are. But it is our job as parents, even though we may see certain flaws, oftentimes we overlook the flaws and we nurture them and bring out those best things in them. Well, if we can do that as parents, how much more can God do that as our Heavenly Father? When we see the flaws in our children, we don't just throw them away and cast them aside. How much more does our Heavenly Father see past the flaws? Because you have to know one of the characteristics about God is his omniscience. The three O's, you hear me talking about that all the time. When we talk about the character and makeup of God, we often say that God is omniscient, meaning he's all-knowing. He's omnipotent, meaning he's all-powerful. And he's omnipresent, meaning that he's everywhere. God is God in his omniscience and his all-knowingness, knowing that you are flawed, knows what the end result is going to be. God can see the ending from the beginning. So when he sees flaws, he just doesn't throw us away. He nourishes us and he builds us up by his Spirit. Unlike us, God can see the positive along with the negative. You know, oftentimes, you know, when you know, my wife's sitting on the front row, you know, I try to do those things that husbands do to keep the marriage alive. And every once in a while I go out and I, you know, get some flowers, and sometime I'm at the flower shop and I might see a pretty rose. But if you understand anything about roses, if you put your hands to them too quick, you will understand that roses have something called thorns. And if you reach out too quickly, you're liable to get cut by one of those sharp thorns. But watch this. In order to see the beauty of a rose, you have to look past the thorns. Understand something, that in God's sight, we are thorny. But God can look past all those thorns to see the beauty that is in us, and it is those things that God will nourish and bring out of us for the edification of the body. It's funny now that even when you look through certain fashion magazines, remember back in the day, you know, women used to do things to try to make themselves look like those CoverGirl models. You know, they would spend hours in the gym and they would get plastic surgery and they would go on these strict diets because they were trying to look like that model that was on the front cover of a magazine. But they didn't realize that those models had excessive makeup on, and a lot of times those photos were airbrushed, so that when you looked at that model, what you saw was perfection. You did not see the flaws because the people in the industry covered up the flaws. But now, by and by, the more you read Vogue, the more you read Esquire, GQ magazine, what's that other one, Naomi, 17, you'll see that the models are flawed. They don't look how they once looked, because watch this, the industry realized that being flawed is natural. The industry realized that being flawed is part of being human, and it can see the beauty beyond the flaws. Well, God is the same way. The wonderful thing is, watch this, God can use us despite our flaws. One thing you know about your pastor is I love dogs. I have two of them at the house. I have a poodle, and then we just recently, less than a year ago, bought a schnauzer, and I'm just a dog guy. I mean, if God allows me long life,